بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Some years before the partition in joint Pakistan, there used to be a Nawab system. To hear about the Nawab of Bhopal, the Nawab of Hyderabad, and some of them influential in their own way. For someone, Abdul Qayyum Sahib, when he had been in Bhopal for more than a month or so, and for some reason he had to meet up with the Begum. Begum was the head of the state. Though she was a woman, but she was the head of the state. Mona looks at his limitations, what he can do, and if every person thinks the same, then inshallah it becomes a very, very, very encouraging environment. But if everybody still thinks that, no, it's his duty, that person thinks it's his duty, he must do it, nothing works out. But Ali radiallahu anhu used to say that there is an adab for every situation. For the person that is a resident in a place, in a town, or in a city, or in a suburb, then the adab for that person is that he must find a body of people that will cooperate with him in dini works. Now there may be a lot of dini works, not just one dini work. There may be teaching, there may be gush work, there may be the ladies taaleem, there may be the girls, get them online, there may be the youngsters, they are going in the wrong direction, to put them online. There may be adult classes, they need some direction, perhaps the namaz is not right, perhaps the wudu is not right, someone is feeling ill to make a hospital visit, someone is passing away to do a janazah. They are some orphans, they are some widows. So now, to work in that whole community, everybody can't do everything. But to cooperate and to assist and support, alright, it's a structure that we need to build. How do we help? How do we assist? So when we are living in a town, this is the first requirement, that I'm Muslim, I'm living in an area, and I need to build up an infrastructure for all my Muslim brothers. So they find a very comfortable zone to be living in. They encourage others, they'll find it comfortable, and they've got it in their minds that if there is any type of emergency, there is some structure around. Now, unfortunately, in the past, this used to be Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi is the leading student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Most of his nights used to be spent looking into kitabs, writing masail. Someone asked him, the whole night you're such a great alim, and then too you spend the entire night looking into the kitab, looking for new solutions, etc. So what forces you to do this? He says that people in the town, they are asleep, relying on Muhammad himself, right? That if we come to a jam, what a problem, then Muhammad is here, he'll find an exit for us, he'll find a solution for us. But if Muhammad himself goes to sleep, then they got a problem now, and they want an exit. In a situation now, it's a masla, and people are concerned about not breaking the limit of Allah Ta'ala. So they're looking for an exit, they're looking for a solution, and there's nobody to find that solution for them. What's going to happen to people? Won't that create despondency? Won't that create a little bit of a depression in the people? So, no matter who you are, how small or how high you are, but you can work out something. What to do in what situation? Aurangzeb Alamgir rahmatullah alayh. See now, the children also, as they're growing up, you're grooming them, then what values do we implant in these children? Sometimes we say, no, he's just a child, so what? But we don't realize that these habits, old habits, then they die hard. Now you just left them, you ignore them, and that build, that habit established in the child, now to delete that habit becomes a problem. And then you feel, now, why is this child so disobedient? Why is he not listening? Why he doesn't show any type of cognizance for the presence of his elders? Why is it? But then we didn't look at how we had treated the child in his formative years. Small, growing up, we didn't think about it. We thought it's a small thing, just disregard it. Many a time I sit with old people, old women, old men, and the normal complaint is, you're sitting with a youngster, but you don't find the type of response. He's busy with his phone, he's doing something else. He's not showing the respect. An elder is talking to you, look at the person with respect, try and listen to him. He wants an answer, you respond. But it's totally dead, no response. Man is so consumed in whatever he's doing. So, he knows everything. But he knows everything, but does he know himself? Does he know Allah Ta'ala? Does he know Allah? If he doesn't know Allah Ta'ala, what he knows? If he doesn't know how to respect the servants of Allah, what has he learned? He doesn't know how to show, to be of service to his people, to his brother, to his father, to his friend, to his sibling, to be of some support. I ask you, what's good or what good? So that Muslim is good, the brother is good, who is of some service, providing something. Just imagine, person passed away, right? So they won't ask, they won't say, that this person was very, very computer literate, he knew it. In the back of his hand, he knew things. They won't say that. Yes, he was a helpful person. Wherever you are stuck, he will come, he will assist, he will support. In spite of him being so educated, he won't mind. He's so educated, but he won't mind rolling up his sleeves, helping you to change your tire. No, that's a man. They talk about it. Allah Ta'ala recognizes it. يَرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا دَامَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Small things, big things, it doesn't stop us. So my brother, I need to assist him, I need to support him. How must I do it? How must I work? Al-Muwan Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi, we talk about him and we hear about him, that he was a revivalist of this century. Right? But he says, most of the excellence that you see in me, the credit goes to the ustad that taught me right at the beginning. He may have taught me Alif Ba, Quran Sharif, Fateh Muhammad Sahib. That was the primary years. And he transferred into me the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Deen. He just charged me up with that. And then I just grew, but that fire that was ignited by this person. And after that, everybody tried to work and improve on me. We think in our minds, well, what's the use? Why should we do this? But we don't know that fire, that spark that we added, or we just started off, it may just become into an inferno. It will brighten the world. So, no matter in what position you are, just a father or a simple person, you don't have that knowledge, don't have that education, you don't have that type of drive, but that doesn't mean we can't do. Can do, in our limitation. The person is in a position, in his position, the one that is right at the bottom, in his position, but he's doing something, he's got that khiyal, that fikr, that concern, what can I do for my deen, for my brothers, for the people around, what can I do? How could I bring about a quality to their lives? Alamgir Aurangzeb Rahmatullah Ali. So there's a famous place in Delhi, they call it Chandi Chowk. Now he's the king here, and every now and then he hears about this Chandi Chowk, a very, very busy place, very prominent and a very busy place. But here there's always fights. Every coming day there's a fight, there's a fight, there's a fight. So he gave me the thought, now I need to rectify this, bring some direction. Every day they're coming here, I have to settle their fights, their squabbles, I must settle every day. So he thought of a plan. You see, this is now an administrator, a ruler, right? You saw a problem, you're trying to fix it up, trying to understand how to get about sorting it. Bring it up, bring a direction, end it up for good, but how to end it up? This thought, this fear, this concern. And we see all types of situations coming up, and each person is a genius today. Each person is a genius, he's an alim, he's a mufti sahab, he's everything. Yes, there isn't that the style where, alright, we recognize the person for whatever he specialized. He specialized for something, let us refer to him. He specialized for something else, so let us refer to him. Indeed, this person has specialized, let me go and ask him, let me refer to him. Now, we go and do things ourselves, and thereafter we get into a greater problem, now we're going to unreal and come out of the problem. created a mess, and then now you want to get some direction, bring it right. So we create complications because of this, using our own minds. In deen also, there's two dimensions. One is the zahir, apparent, right? Namaz, roza, zakat, very important, most important, right? One is the batin, the inside, the heart, right? Getting the beliefs right. The most important thing, getting the beliefs and getting your qaid right. See, in Sayyakul, Allah speaks about the answering of the dua of Ibrahim al-Islam. Rasulam minkum yattu alaykum ayatina wa yuzakkikum, right? So the duty of the Nabi will be to purify, to sanctify, to cleanse. So there, in Alif Lam, when Allah Pak speaks about the dua of Ibrahim al-Islam, he brings about tazkiyah at the end, but at the top, he brings about tazkiyah at the beginning, which is a kikum wa yu'allimukum al-kitabu wal-hikmah. What is the reason? So now, Idris Kandabi Sahib Rahmatullah says, see, to get the purity is so important that everything gets acceptance after the purity. I ask you, if the beliefs aren't pure, will it get acceptance? Beliefs are corrupt. Any of your actions will get acceptance. If your actions and your deeds are not pure, contamination with some type of ostentation and show, etc., can they get acceptance? So nothing gets acceptance without it being filtered through this filter of purity. So get the purity right. The heart must be clean, cleansed. So Allah has created the system that for every situation there is someone available. So go to him, refer to him. You refer to him, you'll get a direction. But you want to bypass the person and go straight, and then you create a confusion for yourself. So, no, oh, why? I got tawheed, oneness of Allah. Allah is the doer. Then why do you go to a baker? You believe in Allah, right? Allah Pak does. You know, what was the need for you to go to a baker? There's no need. So I need the baker. There is a dawat. I need manjras to do the catering. So why do you go to them? So you know, you understand that for every situation there is someone available. Take the services, your life will become easy. But you don't want to take the services and you want to do something. Obviously, you're going to create a confusion. Respect the system of Allah Ta'ala, it will work for you. So for the zahir, for the apparent problems, they are specialists, they are ulama-i kiram. Then for the very discreet, subtle problems of the heart and mind, there are people that have specialized in that as well. When there is a specialist in this, the right thing is we refer to the right persons. Rather than doing our own things, and throwing our minds and overworking our minds, I got a problem. I think I've got jealousy. I think I'm too proud of myself. I think I've got ostentation. I think I'm too concerned about self-admiration. Right? I've got this problem. I think I'm too stingy with my wealth. Now, I want to correct myself. I don't want to be landing in the grave and then the malaika have to tell me when they see my reports, hey, you know, you got a problem here, man. Big problem. You got a massive problem. Will that be a pleasant sight when the malaika are checking you up and they say, you know, you got a massive problem? Now meanwhile you've landed yourself in the grave, can you reverse the situation? Perhaps the problem in the womb, right, if there was a child, there was a problem in the womb with the child, maybe 1000% possibility you can correct it. But once you've touched the grave, you hit the grave, now can you reverse? Can't reverse. So the right thing is, Allah has created situations. He has created all procedures. For the procedure, you're not in a problem. You've got a problem with your mind, with your heart, your beliefs. You are a little bit shaky. You're not too clear about your beliefs. Go and rectify them. Your character or your intention, things that are related to the inner self, may not be correct. And you are in a quandary, you are in a doubt. So in place of you playing around, you go and find out. When your health is not right, you don't see a consistent plan, instead of trying to use your own mind and use this medication and that medication, creating a problem for yourself, someone that specializes in this, you go and ask him, alright, I've got a problem here, what do I do? You can save yourself from a massive problem. But you want to do your own thing, and then at the last stage, when you're really suffering, and then you go to a doctor, and he says, no, you have to go to an oncologist, you've got cancer, Now, in the meanwhile, you've passed all the stages, gone right to stage 4. So now, this now, the doctor will say, is in Allah Pak's hand. I told someone, why? When were things not in Allah Pak's hand? For the doctor to say, I don't appreciate that word. Now it's left in Allah Pak's hand. So that means up till now it was in your hands. It was always in Allah Pak's hand. I was trying, the doctor should say, I was trying, but I can only try to a certain point. Allah Pak does, and he will do. But I, and my medication, my treatment, my medical knowledge can only bring me to a certain point after that it cuts off. I don't have that knowledge. Finish. End of the story. So we talk about Alamgir Aurangzeb Rahmatullah Ali, great saintly person. The last successful king of India, ruled for approximately 50 years, undivided India, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, all that under him, comes under him. Afghanistan, all that, right? Now, he hears about this problem, ongoing fight. This Chandni Chowk, busy area, and this fight's always there. Every coming day is a new fight. I need to bring about a problem, I need to bring about a solution to this, how do I get it right? So, he instructed, alright, you see, at the place where this problem takes place most, 20 businessmen on either side of the road. This side and the opposite side. Call 20 from this side, 20 from that side. Call them in, reprimanded them, and ask them all to bend down. Get them one cut. Just one cut. All, they wondering what happened. Now, Alamgir said, no, just leave this to me now. Send them back. Now, in the same street where there was a fight every day, now if there was someone just raising his voice, 10 businessmen will come up from this side running, and 10 will come up from that side, by, please, lower your voice. Aapka tamasha hoga, or hamari pita hogi. You'll be creating a senior, and we'll suffer the consequence. So just quiet. And you couldn't find a place that was as peaceful as that. But he's thinking to himself, alright, we are living in this country, we're enjoying, and we need to maintain some level of peace and control. How do we get it working? He's got strength, he's got influence, he's got authority. I don't say you may do that. You don't have that authority, right? Everybody works according to the authority, the influence, the power, the might Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. The entire iman Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. Someone's level of iman is greater, higher, stronger. He doesn't worry about the consequence. He will work at his level. And someone is like us, we don't have the strength, we don't have the type of might, not the clout, we don't have the sight, so we will work accordingly. We don't imitate and pretend to be what we are not. So what happens is another problem, I'm not at that person's level, but I want to pretend to be like him. You be yourself, let him be his self. Mawlana Rahim Ilahi Rahimahullah was wanting to speak to about something else. My mind just went onto another topic altogether. Right? What I was wanting to talk about was, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُودُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُودُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. Right? Now, you are in a situation where some vice, some wrong is taking place. What are you required to do? What is supposed to be your response? We'll come to this more arranged story, but let's explain this verse of the Quran Sharif. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا, they engaging in some wrong. Sometimes you've seen them, آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُسْتَهَزَّأُ بِهَا casual. They're making a joke of deen. So, in a gathering, and sometimes the Quran Sharif is being spoken about randomly, people don't have the knowledge, everybody is giving his 2 cents, right? So a mockery is being made, a wrong is taking place, vice is being committed. You in that gathering, what do you do? Now look, in any gathering, there can be about 6 types of vices. Photography, there can be wine that is being served, right? Right? There can be a woman that is naked, right? She's almost scantily dressed and she's dancing, entertaining the crowd, right? So a whole host of problems can be taken in a gathering. What are you supposed to be doing? Can you be selective? Say, no, this is not so bad, this is alright. Or do you say, well, this has been prohibited. Now, for example, you are at a gathering, right? And they are taking dakha. Huh? Not the cannabis oil, but the cannabis itself, right? You're taking it. Someone is taking it. He's sharing it. Khaja ki darbar mein ganja ki bepar hai. You are taking it. They feel they're going to at the spiritual level. They're taking it now, they think they're going at the spiritual level. Very high they're going, right? And you see all these things taking place, but you are there. What are you supposed to be doing? You feel, no, no, hey, I'm going. I'm up to pehle asma mein pehunch gaya ho, dusre. It's photography that's in the place. What do you do? What are you supposed to be doing? What is your requirement? What are you supposed to be doing? فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعُمْ حَتَّى يَخُودُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. You aren't supposed to be sitting with them until they turn to a different theme altogether. Not to be sitting with them. But now you've got a situation where you can't avoid the place. You can't move away from that place. Right. Now these verses were revealed when Sahaba Ikram are in Makkah Mukarramah. And Nabi Sallam's life is such, is comprehensive, complete, perfect. Perhaps every situation we come across, you will find a precedent in the life of Nabi Sallam, in the Quran, something you will find. But just that you have to look around. You look around and you will find it. Now it's a situation where you are in Makkah Mukarramah and you don't have the authority, you're wrong that is taking place around the Kaaba Sharif. All historians, without fail, they say, around that time, there's 360 idols planted right in the vicinity of the Haram. Not in authority, not in control. But now they have to come to the Haram Sharif to offer their namaz, to do tawaf. Where else are you going to do tawaf? So it's a place you can't avoid. But then the place is all loaded with wrong, with vice. So what do? You understand? Now, we've got a similar situation. You are traveling in a plane, right? Every type of vice you will find. You will find alcohol, you will find a mixed gathering, you will find music, right? And if those TV screens are all switched on, you will find dancing women also. When you find that, everything you will find. You can't talk of a vice that you will not come across. But now, how do you respond to that situation? You can't jump off the plane, obviously. Can you jump off? You're on now, and they start all this nonsense, right? Can you jump off the plane? You can't jump off. One is a situation where you can avoid, you can move away. Right? You're a dawat, and someone started some wrong. Someone is talking, someone is making ghibat, someone is gossiping, some wrong is taking place. So, you did exhaust your strength to stop it, but you can't stop it. Now what do? Wrong is taking place, you can see that this is wrong. But what do? So the Quran Sharif's command is فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعُمْ, then don't sit with them. Like for example, if the people are sitting, together and they are planning a robbery, an attack, or it's a terrorist movement, and you come there and you realize that it's a terrorist movement, they're doing something against the government, what would you do? Will you remain there? Why? You know that if you sit there, remain sitting there, you'll be counted as an accomplice. Won't you be blacklisted? When they look at you negatively, you know that. You know the consequence that can follow. So you don't want to be blacklisted. So you move away straight. By the same token, in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are written down there as an accomplice, would you appreciate that? That there was a wrong that was taking place there, he remained there, and he was quite comfortable with the wrong that was taking place. It's written down, the malaika, kiram and katibin, they are writing it down. What are you supposed to be doing? Isn't it a complex situation? So there can be two situations. One is where you can avoid, you can move away. And one is where it's unavoidable. You come to the masjid, for example, this masjid, right? And you can't avoid the environment of the masjid. You have to come and read your namaz. If there's some talim, you have to benefit from the talim. But now in the masjid, now there is a cell phone going on this side, that side, musical tone, every type of tone is going on. Now what do? Do you say, well, because of this phone, you leave the masjid? You can't leave the masjid. Doesn't it happen? I ask you, it happens. You can see a musical tone, some wrong, some misbehavior, something is carrying on. Now, what are you supposed to be doing? So again, we're coming to the Haram Sharif situation, the pre-hijrat, before the hijrat, right? So Allah Ta'ala says, مَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. So those people that guard themselves from wrong, and they are in that situation, they can't avoid, they can't abstain. They have to be there, like a masjid, you have to be there, you can't abstain, right? So then, مَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Then you aren't accountable for that. You guarded yourself from the wrong to the higher level, someone is at a lower level. From the position that you are questioning people. Why, boy, ye jana apne kaam jane, ye apne kabar mein soega. He must sort himself out, he doesn't like his grave. That's not the attitude. We see a wrong, and how we are all worried now for some direction without creating a problem, without creating fitna, without creating a friction, without creating confusion, but we need to get a direction. Otherwise today he's got his phone, he's got one dial, one ring, he's got some other ring, and then he's doing something else, his child is coming to the masjid, and he's dancing around, he's running around. So it won't be a masjid, it'll be just a convenience area, area for convenience, entertainment area. But now we're seeing this thing happen, what should we do? So like I say, every person, according to his position, the broader principles are you don't create a fitna, you don't create problems, fights, you don't create quarrels within brothers. No. But bring about a direction. Keeping all the parameters in mind, bring about a direction. How are you going to do it? Then I see the second thing is everybody is not at the same level. You're getting a variance in the levels as well. Mawlana Rahim Ilahi. Now look at this man here, this personality. So every righteous person, he had some rival. He's righteous now. When you become righteous and all that, then you become a little bit known. And when you become a little bit known, then there's envy and jealousy. That why is he so recognized and respected, and why am I not respected like he is respected, right? Whether in the dini line, whether in the dunya line, but someone is becoming a little bit more distinct, more prominent, then people begin to have some jealousy, some envy, but why is this person? He's flying too high now, bring him to size. Cut him down. So somehow just smash him down. People try different ways. Alright, this person is flying too high now, let's just smash him down. One pious person, poor person, he wasn't educated in deen. But in his own way he was pious. But he wasn't even of the necessary deeni ilm. Now, influential person's son passed away. So when they saw this pious person, he doesn't have the necessary Islamic knowledge. So they saw the pious person and said, you must lead the janazah namaz. So one person that is quite learned and educated, he was very envious of this person. And this person is flying very high and I need to cut him down to size. How must I do it? So he said, no. He whispered into this person's ear as he's going to leave the nawaz. He says, you know, Jamaat to bahut bari hai. It's a very big congregation that has assembled for the janazah. Intention is what? Outwardly, not just, I want to have a good complexion and my face must look nice. You got heart problems, your kidney is failing, you're worried about it. I need to put the right cream to see that my face has the right type of appearance and attraction. Everything else is collapsing in yourself, not concerned about it. So both needs to be good. The outer and the inner. And coming back to the story of Mawlana Rahim Ilahi. Like I say, like every problem per person, he had some enemy. Ja'alna li kulli nabiyin aduwan. Every nabi, every righteous person had some rival. Next to him, a few doors away from him is the masjid. Few blocks away from him is the masjid. So these people now, they wanted to spite Mawlana. The enmity, you see, the hatred. They want to spite him. So what they did, right adjacent to the masjid, the path that Mawlana has to take to come to the masjid, they organized one big qawwali. Show their God. And to entertain the crowd, besides the music they had there, that girl scantily dressed to dance with the crowd. Now all this is happening in the vicinity of the masjid, that's on the masjid. Now Mawlana is really, really furious at this. Bhai, what I don't respect me, you can insult me, do whatever you want. But this is the house of Allah Ta'ala, respect the house of Allah Ta'ala. How can you do this type of a thing? But he's thinking within himself, now I need to bring about some type of order. What do I do? So Mu'adh went and he thought about a plan. Alright, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. I want to do this for your sake, Allah Ta'ala. You look after me. And as he came to the crowd now, he has to go cut through the crowd to get to the masjid. So he thought of a plan, perhaps Allah Ta'ala put in his mind. He went right to that girl that was entertaining the crowd, took out his shoe, and smashed her head. A couple of good shots. If someone is smashing your head, can you sing after that? If you're in pain, can you sing? Can't sing. You can only sing if you're excited. You must be a little bit of a hal to be able to sing. And if you're not in that hal, you can't sing. You can't entertain. So, Allah, Allah, bachao, 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 help me. Anyway, Mu'adh did whatever he did. The whole thing stopped, subsided. Performed his namaz and he can continue. Now the 1,000 people that had assembled for that Qawwali show, they pleading to this woman that you see, he had no right to come and smash you like this. It was your democratic right, you had the freedom to do what you wanted to do. He had no business to do this, what he has done to you. So you go and sue him and we are the witnesses. We will put him in his place. So she heard the story, you know. She heard it properly, whatever they were saying, she heard it. After they said whatever they need to say, now this woman, as loose as she was, as bad as she was, said, "Tumhari aankhon mein koi sharam nahi, dehaya kisam ke, you have no shame." Although she is being shamelessly, but she's addressing a 1,000 crowd, took the mic, said, "You people got no shame in you? What's wrong with you people? Look at this, just analyze this whole situation. This was one man, ace out he was, right? And he saw the wrong. He could throw the crowd, come to me, smash my head, and go away. None of you even batted an eye. Couldn't do anything to this person. That means this person is supported from the skies. From Allah Ta'ala is supporting him. He's got divine help. When he's got divine help, and if I'm going to be doing something against him, I'm working against Allah Ta'ala. I'll get implicated just now. If I'm going to do anything in my defense, then I'm challenging Allah Ta'ala. If I'm going to challenge Allah Ta'ala, you think I'll be spared. I'll be destroyed. I'm not going to do this at all. Now look at the 1,000 people. They seem like all pious people, good people. Just looking at a Qawwali show. And this woman seemed to be the worst. But I ask you, who was the worst person? This woman here or that crowd? The crowd was the worst. Apart from the wrong that they were doing, they were inciting, spurring this woman up. And her iman was so strong. And it just needed that exposure for showing the worth of her iman. She found the exposure and she stood, she didn't betray the trust with Allah Ta'ala. Although she was evil, she was wrong, whatever she was doing. But that iman had to serve her at some point. And it served her at the right time. Now, when she got that couple of shots, her brains came right. When her brains came right, now she went to Mawlana. She says, "You see, Mato Gunagar, I'm outright sinner, I'm a write-off. I came to you now to help me make tawbah and turn to Allah. You help me out. I don't know the path." See the simplicity, the submissive nature. This is what Allah likes. In the whole equation of Islam, then the thing that stands out most is the submission. A humble submission to Allah. I don't know it, Allah. You forgive me, you guide me, correct me. This is the reason why Shaitan was rejected, and this is the reason why the Anbiya Ibrahim alayhi salam is accepted. Doesn't he make this dua? وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ Allah Ta'ala gave everything, and then he said, "Allah, give me this humble submission. That you must instruct, and I must just do it cheerfully. You must instruct, and I must do it cheerfully. You must instruct, slaughter and slaughter. My own child, it's alright. You must instruct, leave your wife, I will leave my wife. You must instruct, allow yourself to be thrown into the fire. Do it." That humble submission, this is what Allah wants to see. At any given situation, but what is the command of Allah Ta'ala? Humbly, cheerfully. This is my Allah Ta'ala's hukam. It's His command. Let me do it. And let me do it with a cheer. No reservation. No, absolutely no resistance. No resistance. No hesitation whatsoever. It is my Allah Ta'ala's command. I must do it. Let me do it. Irrespective of the consequence. Now look at this woman here, and just look at the behavior, what she says. So perhaps, they say, deen zinda hota hai buzurgo ki nazar se. Deen comes alive with the nazar of the buzurg. Yet not the nazar, uski duty se. Just not the shoe, not just the nazar, but the shoe got it right. And as she comes herself, Mullah, teach me how to come back to Allah, I have caused it. So Mullah says, see, you admit and you acknowledge that you are a Muslim, you're doing wrong, right? And if I were to just say you make Tawbah and carry on, then that will not be the right thing for me. See, you were all boyfriends, whatever you're doing, right? I don't want to ask you all the story. But you choose a husband for yourself and lead a clean life. Without having a husband, you can relapse. It's possible that you can relapse. Now you've got someone, so you've got a direction in life, and the chances of you relapsing is very remote. So get yourself online again, but this is the procedure. So that's why I say, when you need to correct yourself, then you need a guide. Now this woman here, she was submissive. As wrong as she was, right? As wrong as she was, loose, dancing, or whatever she was doing. But her heart was Islam. Her life was Islam. And it just needed that exposure, and she showed the true and the right values. This man believes he's knowledgeable, he's an abid and everything. Outwardly he seemed excellent, too good. You can't fault the person. But he just needed that exposure. And when that exposure was given to him, and then he showed his rebellion, he showed his transgression, he showed that fear that was concealed within him. He just needed that exposure. You know, we say that make dua that we die with iman. It's a great dua, right? And then we hear a lot of stories, you know, this person, he messed it up. At the end, he has messed it up. He turned away. Our Hazrat Muhammad used to say that no, he didn't turn at the end. He was turned away, but that turning away had to express itself at some point. At some point it expressed itself. But the man had turned away already, but he just needed an opportunity to express itself. One more time, Ramza says, that when I got to teach in Kanpur, I was quite young, and my father insisted that I must be teaching, because he wanted me to get an understanding of the kitabs very well. So, for about 15, 20 years after my graduation, that I dedicated myself to the kitabs that I've learned over the years, that is well rooted in me, I get a proper understanding. So, whilst we were there, there was one elderly person, quite a tahajjud guzar, regularly tahajjud and all that. And because he was like my father's age, so we used to call him Abba. Tajud Guzar, five time namazi, everything else. Mullah says, just a few days before he could die, then he expressed himself, he exposed himself. He says, you know, when I was much younger, I had a Jewish or a Christian girlfriend. And I don't know what's happening to her. If she is a Christian, then I am a Christian. If she is a Jewess, I am a Jewess. This is now just around the time he's closing up books. Just around leaving the world, that's the time, you see. So this was concealed within him. The same disbelief was concealed within him. It just needed an exposure. When it came to the crunch time, then it exposed itself, you see. So the importance of this iman, importance of the yaqeen, and over and above this humble submission, honest, humble submission to Allah Ta'ala, we all gunaygar. Can we say that we are very, very pious? And we can't say that. No, some even greater than others, right? But yes, our hearts must be pulsating with iman. That we won't betray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any situation, we'll allow the Islamic cause to prosper. Anything. Whatever situation we are caught up in, but Islam must prosper. So we're talking about this verse, you know. We're talking about this verse. Now what are you supposed to be doing? So, Allah Pak says about these people that can't avoid Ma ala lazina yattaquna. You are abstaining from other wrong, but now it's a situation you're caught up and you can't avoid. So Allah says you're not accountable for that. Like I say, you are on a plane. So Allah Pak says we're not supposed to be having a selective approach. No. This is alright, there's some ikhtilaf here, there's differences of opinion. Let me go with that, you know. We're not supposed to have that type of mind. For that moment, you ask yourself two questions. If, for example, at this moment, if Malakul Maut had to take me, while there's music around, while there's photography, while there's a mixed gathering, would I like to be presented by Allah Ta'ala, and would I like to be recorded in his register? This man died, music around, there's photography around, there was mixed gathering around, and he died in that whole commotion, he died. Would you like to be in that? Or would you like, or he saw this, respectfully, إِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّهُوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. When you saw that wrong, evil, respectfully you went away. You didn't humiliate and disgrace those people, right? Nor did you get stuck in that environment. Respectfully, you moved away. Think to yourself, I don't know, I'll become a victim to this. Perhaps I die in this condition. So I don't want to be recorded by the malaika that you died in this type of circumstance. So when you can avoid it, you will avoid it. But if you stuck in that environment, then how are you supposed to be conducting yourself? They're playing now, there's music carrying on, women running all over the show, they're doing whatever things they are doing. What are you supposed to be doing? Then they say, for you not to be in lakum idam mislim, if you're going to be there, and you're not objecting at any level, then you'll be counted like one of them. As Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, in his zamana, there were a group of youngsters that were apprehended for taking some type of drug or whatever. And one person was totally innocent, not a gunegar at all. He was fasting, in fact. But Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the most just person of the Khulafai Rashidin, is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, most just, right? So, like the rest of the crowd was apprehended and punished, so this person was fasting, he was also punished. He says, no, you are an accomplice. You saw the wrong, so why did you remain there? You saw, you were taking some wrong things, but why did you remain there? You should have moved away from that. So like they were punished, he's also punished. Sometimes we want to remain in that crowd. Why? We want to remain. Because of his influence, his position, now I want to be next to him. Photograph next to me, right on this thing here. Because this is a ruling class, very, very affluent. And they're going to see you riding small, like a footstack model. Corolla, old, outdated one. What they think of you? Now you're driving a Mercedes. What they think of you? At least a value of recognition, respect. So Umar radiallahu anhu, for that moment, he respected the suggestion. But he just rode on for a few steps and said, just bring my mount back and bring my clothing back. He put on his clothing with all about 18 patches and that, oh, whatever animal he had. And he says to Umar that Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, it was not for your position, I would have disciplined you, corrected you. And then he says, "Kuntum adallan nas, fa'azzakum Allahu bil Islam." You had no position, no recognition, despised, downtrodden. You were nowhere, and the respect that you got is because of Islam. Islam. When you accepted Islam, now people recognize you, they respect you, they hold you in esteem. So the thing that brought you that respect, you forgot it. And this thing here that really was not responsible to bring about the respect, you're tying to that. Now look at our position today. We're being downtrodden wherever we are because of this. We feel today the wealth, the position, the profession, whatever, that is the respect. Not realizing that Islam brought us this. We are in the house of Islam. And that house of Islam has brought us the beauty, the attraction, the acceptance, the respect everywhere. And when it is the house of Islam that brought us this beauty, this attraction, then we need to pay back to this house. It's your house, right? Your children enjoy the comfort of your house. You enjoy it, your wife enjoy it, right? But they're not contributing. One child now is 15, 20 years of age, and he wants to defecate, so he's using your lounge. Another child wants to make pisab, he's using your kitchen, right? Other child, you see the taps are open, some guest comes into the house and he says, "Well, why don't you clean this place here?" He says, "No, it's just Nasib Bhai's house here. He will come and sort out everything." I ask you, will you appreciate this? Why? They're all enjoying the comfort of the house. When they're enjoying the comfort of the house, then they all need to support the ambience of the house. They need to respect that house because they're all enjoying from the house. So we're enjoying from the house of Islam. Really, I say, Wallah, I say, we're all enjoying from the house of Islam. The respect that we got, the glory we got, is because of Islam. Otherwise, we know nowhere in the picture. Then he says, "Kuntum aqallan nas fakaththarakum Allahu bil Islam." You have more numbers. Islam gave you the number. And then that separating in the last statement that he makes, he says, if you're going to be looking for respect elsewhere, remember Allah will disgrace you, humiliate you. So you want that, you come back on cause. Whatever it is, I don't say don't make the money, do everything, whatever else. But remember that you are respected, you are honored, you are getting that recognition, progress is because of Allah Ta'ala's Islam. And you forgot that, you know, then you lost everything. And if you got that, then do everything else, alright. But so long as you got that before you, that this is the thing that brought me respect, this is the thing that brings me safety, this is the thing that is giving me the type of security, this is the thing that is allowing people to respect me. Otherwise, I am nothing. Islam has given me whatever I have got is not my own. Not my own achievement, it is purely Islam. So in anything that we are doing, wherever we are, we got this, inshallah, you're not lost. But if you lost this, then ask us to whatever ignorant we are, wherever we see ourselves to be downtrodden, humiliated, humbled, the press, the media is talking against us, right? It's because of us moving away from this. And then the right thing is, each person looks within himself. Everybody says, well, some problem, I need to correct myself. What can I do? And how can I correct? How can I bring about things in perspective? How can I do it? Inshallah, it will be a different type of a world we're living in. In my own humble way, according to my capacity, my strength, what can I do? How can I improve? How can I correct? How can I cooperate? If every person thinks like this, I say, won't this place be a beautiful place to be living in? Allah grant us all tawfiq.